Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM, and on the interwebs at berkeleyliberationradio.net. This is Radio Autonomía, Zapatismo in the Bay. And we're back here live in the studio with a couple of very special guests who are here to talk to us about some of the really amazing organizing work that's been happening lately. And we're going to start out with our comrade Molly here, who is going to talk to us about the Justice for Alan Bluford Coalition and the recent work that's been happening around the struggle for justice for this young man who we will learn more about right now. So maybe you could start off by telling us, who is Alan Bluford?
Thank you very much, Magali. Alan Bluford is an 18-year-old boy who was on May 6th of this year murdered by OPD for really not, as far as I can see, nothing much more than the color of his skin and being out after midnight in East Oakland. And what happened was two OPD officers, Officer Miguel Masso and his partner, rolled up on Alan Bluford and his three friends on the street in East Oakland basically pulled him over, racial profiling incident, kind of a, you know, stop and frisk, which is not a law here in Oakland, but basically a de facto law, and pulled Alan and his, you know, stopped Alan and his friends for that. And for reasons we really don't know, Alan ran and Miguel Masso chased him for approximately four blocks, and Alan tripped over a street corner at that point, fell on his back, and Officer Miguel Masso fired three shots into Alan while he was laying on his back. And from what the forensic report shows, it does look like his arms, you know, when he fell on his back, that his arms went up over his head. Miguel Masso fired those three shots into 18-year-old Alan Bluford and then fired a fourth shot. I don't know the exact order of the firing of the shots, but there were four shots total fired, three into Alan, and then the fourth shot went into Officer Miguel Masso's foot. And at that point, they left Alan to lay in the street while they rushed Officer Miguel Masso to Highland Hospital, which is the area's best hospital for gunshot wounds. I'm also a registered nurse, aside from a member of the Justice for Alan Bluford Coalition, so we all know that's where you want to go if you get shot in Oakland. But so that's what happened, basically, in who Alan Bluford is he's I can't even say, unfortunately, the latest victim in the Bay Area to, police brutality and murder. There's was a young man in Vallejo, Mario Romero, who has been killed since Alan Bluford. So, unfortunately, I can't even say he's the latest victim.
So there's this coalition, the Justice for Alan Bluford Coalition, that's come together around the family struggle and the community struggle, really, for justice. So what are some of the demands of this coalition, and can you talk a little bit about the work that's being done and sort of what the sort of strategy of the coalition has been thus far?
Yeah, great. So the coalition came about, it's really, I would say, and this is according to me. Another member might have another answer about exactly how the coalition came about. But I would say that it was a lot of members from left over from the Oscar Grant movement. And then there's a lot of people from Occupy, as well as people from Answer Coalition, as well as just concerned community members. We have students with, like, the Black Student Union who are starting to join us, both at Laney and at Merritt. And we have civil rights lawyers, four, who are working with us. Some of them, you know, names that we know around Occupy Oakland, like Dan Siegel, who was the legal counsel for Gene Kwan, and then he resigned. The date helped me out. Was it 14 days after the start of Occupy? Yeah, something like that, after the crackdown there when we were in the plaza, and then we all got, when we all got violently evicted from the plaza, and Dan Siegel resigned in protest over that. So anyway, that's basically who the coalition is made up with. Oh, and of course, I'm forgetting the most important members of the coalition, which are the several members of the Bluford family. I should have started off. Those are our most important members. So we all came together, you know, within days, some of us, after Alan's murder, and, you know, began organizing. And we now, you know, meet, some of us, twice weekly, if not more, to, you know, work on the issues that were the demands that we have, which are we would like Miguel Masso, Officer Miguel Masso, fired. We would like Officer Miguel Masso tried for murder. And we would like an end to the de facto stop and frisk that we have here in Oakland. And this is not just about Oakland and not just about Alan Bluford. We're, you know, this is has national implications. And, you know, for example, in New York City, they have a real law, a real stop and frisk law, where cops are required to stop and frisk certain individuals. And statistics definitely show black and brown, especially men, but people, you know, people, but mostly men, are stopped at a disproportionate amount to other individuals. And so we want to end either de facto or real stop and frisk, and, you know, end the murder of young men in our communities of color.
What has the response been from the city of Oakland and from the Oakland Police Department to the work of the coalition? I understand it's been a rather contentious relation.
Yeah, contentious. It's to say the least. Indeed, they are not fans of ours, I'm going to tell you. They do not like our demands. I've had, you know, several conversations with some of the members of Oakland City Council, and, you know, they give you a lot of, oh, we do sympathize with the family and we would love to help. And I call that lip service. They give us a lot of just flapping their lips and wasting their breath, but a lot of inaction. And the, you know, a lot of what it seems to boil down to is like legal double speak, and then just also extreme cowardice. And so, you know, they're more worried about their next election than they are actual justice for this poor young man who was murdered by an Oakland police officer. What we have gotten is just a lot of blockades and a lack of answers, you know, especially for the Bluford family, who in the beginning, all they were told were lies. And then they, in the beginning, they weren't, you know, there weren't any protests against the city or anything. It was just, what happened to our son? Where's the forensics report? Where's the coroner's report? Where's the police report? We need answers. You know, the Bluefords are saying, we're a grieving family. What happened? That's all they wanted to know at first. And they got nothing but coordinated lies and a complete cover-up by the city of Oakland, the city council, and by OPD. And the only answers that the Bluford family and the Justice for Alan Bluford Coalition have gotten so far have been due to intense pressure by the coalition on the city, you know, on the city council, all of us joining together, going to attending city council meetings regularly, and making our demands known, and also doing community speak outs to organize, you know, support for the Justice for Alan Bluford Coalition. We've had two pretty successful barbecues in the to build support for the coalition in the neighborhood where Alan was killed. And, you know, all of this, again, has been met with a considerable amount of resistance, including the Oakland City Council attempting to limit our access toward free speech. And at the last meeting that we attended, I believe the date was October 18th, at the last meeting that we attended, most of the people who came, most of our supporters, were in fact locked out of the City Council, which is in direct violation of the Brown Act of California, where we are supposed to have access to both our, you know, to our elected representatives at the City Hall meetings if there are seats available. And there were indeed many seats still available, including the whole upper gallery that they shut down completely. No, there was absolutely no access to the upper gallery, which in every other City Council meeting I've attended, there has been access to that gallery. So that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question about their how they're receiving our demands. Thank you.
Well, it's clear that the work of the coalition is obviously focused on the story of Alan Bluford, right? That's what sort of sparked this movement into action. So focused on the story of Alan Bluford, on the Bluford family and the community's struggle for justice for this murder victim. But it's also clearly about a much bigger picture here in Oakland, a city that's really plagued by a highly racist, mostly outsider police force. We've seen recent statistics of, 94% of OPD live and come from outside of Oakland. And, you know, also plagued by recent, and not so recent, a long history of murders of young black men at the hands of OPD. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about sort of the broader context of what the coalition is fighting for, sort of beyond and in addition to the story of Alan Bluford and the struggle for justice for him.
Yeah. Great question, and I can answer that, you know, I can sum it up in one sentence, but then elaborate on that more, and, you know, my one sentence answer for that is that justice for Alan Bluford will mean there will be no more Alan Bluefords. And, you know, a friend today actually said to me, because I have an altar up on 25th Street in between Broadway and Telegraph. It was the old altar that was used for Oscar Grant, and I was gifted that altar to put up for Alan Bluford. And there, written on the there's a, you know, written on the altar, it says, "I am Oscar Grant," and initially, I started to take that down or try to figure out some way to cover that up because I thought, oh, this is now an altar for Alan Bluford. And then I realized I put up a photo of Alan Bluford underneath the quote that says, "I am Oscar Grant," and I realized that's the message. And because Alan Bluford is Oscar Grant. And, you know, there's just, unfortunately, as you said, a very long legacy of this in Oakland, way too long, you know, and not just Oakland, all around America. But if we want to, you know, focus on what's going on here in Oakland, you know, we're coming off of, you know, coming up to close of 10 years, 10 years ago, that it was the Oakland Riders case where, you know, it's a pretty infamous case where there were basically, a bunch of lawless thug cops who rode around increasing their arrest statistics and, you know, their crime-solving rates by kidnapping, you know, people, by covering up, you know, evidence, by planting evidence. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they also committed murders. I don't know if that was ever, you know, committing murders. I know covering things up. But anyway, lots of things are now known that were sanctioned and approved in the Oakland Police Department, and the only reason that these, you know, lawless gang of thugs even got caught in this, you know, in what happened surrounding the Oakland Riders case 10 years ago was because a rookie cop, and unfortunately I wish I could remember his name, maybe somebody else does, but because a rookie cop came forward, I believe after his first day on the job with OPD and saw how they were acting, and, you know, basically he said, "Who the what now? You're doing what?" And this brave young man, I mean, basically, as far as I'm concerned, one of the only, you know, cops that I could go and shake his hand in Oakland and say thank you, you know, and he turned his co-workers in. He blew the whistle on them for what these, you know, cops were doing 10 years ago, and at that point, the Oakland Police Department had some court-appointed monitors, and these monitors, you know, are mostly retired cops, and they were appointed by the courts as a result of the fallout from this Oakland Riders case, and they were appointed to monitor the Oakland Police Department 10 years ago, and there were several requirements and recommendations put forth by the courts that OPD had to, you know, comply with. And long story short, not only have they not complied with those, they've continued to be a law, you know, one of the worst, the worst lawless gang of thugs that we have here in Oakland, absolutely murdering thugs. They continue to be that. And not only has that continued, but then Occupy Oakland happened. Well, you know, before Occupy Oakland, there was Oscar Grant, and while I know that that was Johannes Messerly, that, you know, who was BART police who murdered Oscar Grant, all of the repression that happened to the supporters of that movement was 100% coordinated by OPD and a top-down, you know, repression on people's expression of their views, free speech, ability, access to our elected representatives, all that stuff, same stuff that's happening again. But then Occupy happened. And then, you know, now Alan Bluford. And so not only has the Oakland Police Department, where they get in trouble 10 years ago, but they've just gotten worse since then. They haven't complied with any of those recommendations. So that's kind of some of the broader perspective of, you know, what's up in Oakland. And, you know, what we're fighting for in the coalition is simply for Miguel Amasso to be fired and tried for murder, but also for OPD to not be able to act, as I keep saying, like a lawless gang of thugs in our communities, especially our communities of color.
So I'm sure some of our listeners out there might be wondering how they can get involved with the coalition, which from what I understand is a very open movement that is looking to work with more folks and connect with different kinds of communities around Oakland. So how can folks get involved? I know that you've had a lot of really successful events in the past, and there's another big event coming up next weekend. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and some contact info.
Sure. Absolutely. So glad you asked me that. So before I forget, people can get involved the best way. So in case I miss anything here in information, you can go to www.justiceforallenblueford.org, and that's justice and then the number for allenblueford.org. And I'm going to go ahead and spell that out, J-U-S-T-I-C-E for A-L-A-N-B-L-U-E-F-O-R-D.org. And that has all of our info, including info about our weekly open meetings, which are on held on Saturdays at every Saturday at 11 a.m. And I would give the location, except which is a lot of times 150. Well, I'll give it. It's usually 155 Myrtle, which is the SEIU, one of the SEIU labor halls. I think that's the 1021. Thank you. Yeah, 1021 labor hall. And but I know the reason why I hesitate a little bit is because just last week, because of the elections coming up, the office was tied up. And I'm sorry, SEIU, I shouldn't have said it like that. Because thank you for letting us use your hall. That was not towards you, that sarcasm in my voice. It was about the elections. Anywho, so, and then the other way that people can get involved is come join us in the street. I mean, right now, that's, you know, aside from coming to our meetings on Saturday and checking out our website, you know, Saturdays at 11, aside from coming to those meetings and checking out the website, the best thing that you can do is come put your feet in the street, join us on November 10th at noon at Oscar Grant Plaza, which is also 14th and Broadway. And we're going to be marching to end, you know, protesting police brutality and to end racial profiling. And we're going to have several family members from different Bay Area families who have been, you know, victims of police murder. And, you know, I know that there's going to be Uncle Bobby from Oscar Grant's family will be there. I don't know if we're going to have any family from Mario Romero. I think that there's, oh gosh, you know what, I hate to actually say exactly what other family is going to be there, because now I'm totally spacing aside from Uncle Bobby, but I know that there are going to be other family members there who are going to be not only marching with us, but also in the beginning there's going to be a rally and they're going to be speaking about, you know, what happened to their loved ones. So if you come to the rally, you can find out exactly who the family members are going to be there. But please join us November 10th, 12 o'clock at 14th and Broadway in the march to end police brutality and to end racial profiling.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So again, that's Saturday at noon at 14th and Broadway, the march against police brutality. We're going to go to a quick musical break here.